Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's Lean Keys, Real Talk. Wait a second. I was off a second. Yo, it's Lean Keys, Real Talk. Not sure what number it is, but that's insignificant. This is the UFC 267 preview show. We're going to break down UFC 267 pay-per-view card, the free. You know, Dana White made sure to double down on that, make sure y'all knew that it was free. Well, make sure you know that it was free. And, yeah, I'm pretty excited about that myself. But anyways, UFC 267 preview show, we're going to jump into that card in a little bit. But first, you know, we have a couple opening segments we want to get to, and then we'll roll into 267 predictions and a whole lot of other fun stuff. What up, Lee? How you doing, bro?
Oh, man, I'm just hanging in there, man. I can't complain, man. Big card this weekend. They got a lot of fights on this card. I was like, wow. They got a whole lot of fights up there. But, you know, we're going to jump into that. But I think you got something to get off your chest today, bro. So what's going on with you?
I just wanted to point out that tonight's show, if you saw our tweet, and if you didn't see our tweet, follow us at LKE Real Talk on Twitter. But then once you follow us, you would have seen, well, you will see the tweet. But I said tonight's show, I almost wanted to say was brought to you by Absolute Vanilla, but I don't want to say that because we actually are not sponsored by them. I don't want to, you know, get it. Ain't nobody trying to get sued. But tonight's show was inspired by, we would have did the show anyways, but tonight's show was inspired by Absolute Vanilla because I think they did use Absolute Vanilla, one of the main ingredients in those espresso martinis I had a little bit earlier tonight with my dinner. I did have about three of those espresso martinis up at this really nice steakhouse, local steakhouse up by where I live in Boston. And I had about three espresso martinis. I know a lot of people don't always drink espresso martini when they're having red meat, but hey, I don't live by the code. I'm not a status quo kind of guy, so I roll my own way. I was having some espresso martinis. I think they use Absolute Vanilla in the espressos. I could feel that vodka type of burn, that burn just only vodka could really give you. So, and for me, that turns into heartburn. So, yeah, it's a good burn, but it's not really a great burn. But, yeah, either way, those espressos were top-notch, and I just wanted to point that out, that tonight's show and tonight's energy from Keys is very much inspired by Absolute Vanilla and those espresso martinis that I had at Jimmy's Stairhouse out in Boston. So, shout out to y'all. And we will kick it off with that.
Okay. So vodka and coffee. I didn't know that was a thing. It doesn't sound too good. But if you co-signing on it, I take your word for it.
Yeah, so I think you would be kind of surprised by how good they are. I think you'd be a little bit surprised. And it's not coffee. It's espresso. And the thing that's, And that's really a game changer because it's not like I'm just having a coffee with some Baileys in it. You know, that would be one thing, but the espresso martini is a banger. Like, the espresso martini is a banger. Like, I'm a little bit surprised that you haven't had one of those before, but it's okay. You know, pretty soon you'll be out there around the way, and, you know, when we meet up to hit one of these events, you know, you may have to try one of those martinis, and you might actually be surprised. You might like it. So, but
yeah,
and the thing is,
well,
too. Not bad, not bad. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Nah, you got that.
Nah, I was about to say, but I was like, I'm living vicariously through you tonight. So, you know, if you feeling good, I'm feeling good too.
We like that. I mean, and one thing too that about the espressos that is interesting to me is that out here, I mean, if it is a Boston thing and they're really more popular out here, if that's the case, which it may be, one thing that you'll see when you're out here is that it's almost like everywhere you go, they're made a little bit differently. Some places have real espresso that they use in it. Some places don't use espresso in it, and they might have like an espresso flavored, you know, something that they put in there. I couldn't really tell you. I'm no bartender, but, you know, the real espresso ones are that much better. I'm not that crazy on the Absolute vanilla that they use in some. Not all of them use vodka in them. Not all of them use vodka. Sometimes the ones that I really like, you got Bailey's Irish Cream, Frangelico.
Okay, all right. That sounds a little better. Coffee and Bailey's.
So you don't, yeah, so the vodka is not always the thing. The vodka is sometimes, like, that. Those ones I usually don't go for. The ones I like is you go real espresso, Bailey's Irish Cream, Frangelico, and I think Kahlua. I think a little bit of Kahlua. I think.
Yeah. All right.
I think those are the three right there. And
yeah,
I want
to
say that mix right
there. You're coming around what I would drink.
Yeah, so you're starting to see the picture now. So I want to say it's those three. It's a real espresso, Bailey's Irish Cream, Frangelico, and I think Kahlua. I think Kahlua, but I could be wrong. And sometimes some places will do like some chocolate syrup on it sometimes too. If we're really getting fancy, but that's not always the thing. And sometimes they'll even have the real espresso beans they'll throw in there. You might see a couple of espresso beans in there too, just so you know it's real. So that's always appreciated. We don't always get that, but when we do, it's appreciated. And the one I had tonight was not that mixture. I could tell the difference. I'm an espresso connoisseur at this point. I know what's in it. Basically, the first sip, I pretty much know what isn't in it and what is. And the first sip of tonight, I could just tell that it was, they had vodka in it. Not all of them use vodka in it, but there are some good ones like that too, but it's not, to me, the vodka, those ones aren't the top tier. You know, those aren't the top tier espressos. You know, you want the ones, in my opinion, had what I listed off, you know, the real espresso and, you know, that trio that I listed off. That's the ones you want. But you want the real espresso and Bailey's. That's really what you need. Those are the real hitters right there. The places that make it like that in Boston, they know what's up with it. But anyways, you know, when you're out here, when you're around the way, we're a little bit close by, you know, in a minute, you know, we'll revisit that. And for tonight, you know, you can just take my word for it.
Yeah, I'm definitely doing that. Because, you know, they make a coffee flavor Patron also.
I want to say I've seen that in a couple liquor stores out here, but I've never tried it.
Yeah, I got a bottle of that on my bar, I think.
I don't know why. So with the tequila?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I've seen that one, but I've never tried that. I'm a big tequila fan. I was sipping some tequila this past weekend. I was off the Casamigos. This past weekend.
Oh,
you like
was
Casamigos?
On the shit. Yeah. Come on, I mean, man. I don't really drink tequila, but that Casamigos is good.
Come on, man. You know we're only off the good shit, man. You know how we rock.
Yeah.
You know, we sip on the finest. You know what I mean? It's like the finest available. We got to go for it, you know. Vodka, I'm a Tito. You know, vodka, I'm a Tito's guy. Or Ciroc. You know, Ciroc is there. Or Tito's is there. Tequila, I like the Casamigos. That's what I was rocking with this past weekend. And I like the Don Julio, too. I do like some Don Julio when that's on the table. And Patron is nice, too. Patron is always accepted. Now that's definitely on the table as well, but it just depends what's, you know, what kind of night, you know, is being had. So, you know, I was off the Casamigos, and I found this new drink. Peep this. I was drinking the Casamigos with lemon juice on the rocks. That was my drink.
Yeah, that ain't bad.
Casamigos. Yeah, the Casamigos with some lemon juice on the rocks. That's how we were rocking out, man. Keys was chilling, bro. I was chilling. It was all right.
It sounded like you had a night.
And yeah, that was this past weekend because I had some family up here. Some family out in Pennsylvania. They came down. And then I had, and I still have actually, some family that lives out in Maine, which is north of, you know, a good amount north of Boston. And they're out here still for the week. They stayed over my place the other night, but you know, they're out here somewhere. And, you know, we all went out, probably about 10 of us. We had, like, you know, a true squad out there. And, yeah, I was off the Casamigos that night. That was a celebratory night. You know, I don't really drink that much, but nowadays when I do, you know, we gotta keep it real. So it is what it was.
Yeah, I know that's right. Yeah, man. So, yo.
So, go ahead. I know you had something you wanted to get off to. Go ahead.
No, not really, man. You know, big weekend coming up. Just want to tell people, big weekend coming up. I want to realize what you said. You know, the pay-per-view is free, which I never. When he announced that, I thought, well, I think it came out on Twitter first that it was going to be free, and I thought it was a joke. Then when I saw it was on ESPN.com, I was like, wow, they're actually doing something for free. But that's because, that what, we got another pay-per-view, what, next week? Next week or the week after? So, you know, I think it's good for them to give you something free every once in a while. So, ain't nothing wrong with free 99.
Hey, man, if it's free, it's for me. You know,
if
it's free, it's for us. You know, we're with that. One thing we've always talked about on this show is that we don't really like streaming. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not going to try to, you know, play some kind of angel. I have streams, like an event here and there, but that's something that I mostly don't do. I really take pride in buying the shows. You know, this one does happen to be free, but, you know, when they are pay-per-view shows, actually paying per-view shows, I do take pride in buying the events. And, you know, I bought a good number of UFC pay-per-views, and I also pay for an ESPN Plus subscription. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, of course, if you're someone who streams, you could be technically watching every event for free, but I don't know. That's not my vibe. I'm not gonna rag on people that do it, but that's not how I like to move.
I might stream like some fight night cards. I might stream them. Of course, sometimes I'll buy the card, have fight parties. But normally if it's a card that I really want to see, I'll actually go out somewhere and watch it. You know, although I really don't like going out too much, I'll go somewhere and watch it if I don't want to buy the card. So, you know, I got a Fire Stick. If I wanted to watch it for free, I could. But at the same time, I think, you know, us buying pay-per-views, I wish it was a way I could prove it could help the fighters get paid more, but I can't prove that. But that's neither here nor there. But Saturday, I might go out and watch the fight Saturday. No, it's free, so I'll probably stay home Saturday. I'll probably go out and watch the one, the MSG one. So, yeah, I'll go out and watch that one.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely hype that we have both of those events this week. MSG, like, the fact we're about to watch a pay-per-view this weekend, and it's a banger of a pay-per-view, speaking of which, I was loading into UFC.com just a minute ago while we were talking. I want to get this card pulled up so we can talk about that in a little bit here shortly. But the fact we're going to see a light heavyweight title fight and many other bangers on this coming card in 3 days, and then we're going to get to watch, you know, Kamaru Usman versus Colby Covington 2, Michael Chandler versus Justin Gaethje, and a whole lot of other bangers at Madison Square Garden, and literally 7 days after that, like, that is just absolutely crazy. Like, crazy. Whoever thought about that idea, that's good stuff. Whoever thought about doing that, that guy might need a promotion, man. Dana, that guy might need a promotion. Whoever thought about doing that, I think that's going to pay off, man. I think it is. I think a lot of people, I think that's going to pay off big for that MSG card. I think a lot of people that get this one free are going to be that much more incentivized to buy the MSG card. I'm not saying that's why they did it. I don't know why they did it, but I do think that could be a benefit of them having done it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I think Dana kind of took into, you know, probably tugging at his heartstrings that do you really want to make people pay for two pay-per-views in 1 month? You know, do he really want people to do that? So I think the business side probably, like you said, is if I can watch one for free, then I would rather watch this one for free, and I will pay for the MSG one. So instead of making people make a decision, he made a decision for us.
Yeah, that could be it. I mean, one thing that is true is that usually the October card is usually earlier in the month. So that's one thing that I think that changed with this calendar year. Like, if you remember it, how'd it go a couple of years ago? The last time I remember, when Derek Lewis fought Volkov on that card was on the Khabib McGregor card. That was on October 6th. And then the next, and that was pay-per-view. And then the next pay-per-view after that was around the same time. This MSG is the first week of November, the first weekend of November. So it seems like this year, for some reason, they decided to move their October card to the end of the month as where they usually do it in early October, first week. So usually it'd be a month apart, but I think there was some reason this year that maybe it was the way the title fights, like maybe the guys couldn't, you know what I'm saying? Maybe since they had, you know, Jan and Sterling fell through, you know, maybe it was the timeline with that. I don't know, but I do think they moved it up from where you know, the timeline of where they usually do it at, which is usually the first week of October.
Yeah, I just think the timing. I think the timing got screwed up because of they didn't know what Aljamain was going to do. So I think that kind of like screwed everything up. So, but you know, we still getting two pay-per-views, so really can't be mad about it. I'm just kind of disappointed that the Peter Yan and Sanhagen fight isn't for like an interim belt or the real belt. To me, it's just Aljamain has definitely been. We'll talk about that when we get into 267. We'll talk about that in a little bit. I'll express my opinion on that in a little bit. I just let the people hold on for a minute before I deep dive into that.
Yeah, we'll hold off. I mean, I think you had something. Well, we both had something, but really, you wanted to talk about the back and forth between Conor McGregor and Tony Ferguson on, I think it was Twitter this past week, earlier this week. What do you think about that?
Oh man, it was definitely entertaining. when you throw Conor McGregor and Tony Ferguson into a Twitter back and forth, it definitely was very entertaining. Although, you know, for me, I could care less for the low blows or going personal. I just think, you know, it's just certain lines you shouldn't cross. I guess how it happened was Conor McGregor posted a picture of him working out or something, or his body or something. And Tony Ferguson just came out and said he was taking growth hormones, which is illegal, which is considered a PED. And he didn't stop there. He was like, Conor's mentally weak. Your leg is compromised. You're fragile, frail, and breakable. And I was like, man, damn, that went left quick. I was like, wow. And then Conor came back and he called Tony a mental basket, sad case, talking about he was going to share the video that that Tony's wife sent out where he had the little meltdown or something. I was like, damn, bro, what happened? I mean, it just went super left really, really quick. And, you know, man, I could see if they was keeping it, like, in between the lines, saying, and Tony would have came out. Let's just say if Tony would have came out and Connor posted a picture, and Tony would have just came out and said, "Wow, looking good, champ. When we go get in the ring and square up?" Then Connor probably would have came out and probably said, you probably would have said something to the effect of, "After I kick Dustin's ass, yours is next." He probably would have said something like that. But damn, man, they just went super left really quick. I just don't like this. I don't like when it goes personal, when you drag family into it. There's no need for that. It's trash talk. Connor did the same thing with Dustin's wife before their fight. So I think this thing with dragging in people's family is actually did it with Khabib, with Khabib's dad. So I don't know, man. I was just disappointed in both of them. But maybe this is the way they get a fight. This is maybe the way they politic into maybe getting a pay-per-view main event. I don't know, man. But the trash talk just don't bring the families into it. I just don't like that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really have too much good to say about Conor McGregor at this point. I figure you probably wouldn't expect me to say that. He's probably going to say, "Wow, Keys has really, really grown up in the past 4 years." He'll be like, "Damn,
well,
this is crazy. Keys, 4 years, I changed you."
Well, you tweeted out something the other day. Was like, I think you said something was like, "What would the 2015 Conor think about this or something?" And I was like, "Wow, that's a great tweet."
Nah, I said, I actually quoted something that he tweeted. I quoted him directly,
yeah.
And I said the 2015 McGregor would be disgusted. I said the 2015 McGregor would be ashamed of what you become, or would be disgusted of what you become. So I said one of those two. And it's
true. That's the one I'm talking about. That's the one I'm talking about. 100%
true. Bro, he, like, it really is disgusting, the person he is now. It's really disgusting. Like, I don't even, it's not like, there's no pride in being a fan of this guy, because it's, you just keep, you talk and you lose fights, and your trash talk is way out of line, and you're just getting beat up by everybody. Like, it's not, I don't think that's, I'm just not there for it. I'm not a fan of it. I don't care. Like, it's his motivation, you know, he puts out these tweets, like, you know, the one that I quoted when I said that was him saying, like, "I just want your money," or, like, "I just want," it's something like that. And it just, it's like, you really talking like that, like a guy that used to actually care about, like, the glory of winning fights, and, like, prize fighting was, like, a thing that he, like, he enjoyed that. Now it's like, oh, you just want to shit on your fans? Like, before, you used to be so appreciative of fans, you know? And now it's like, okay, you just want to basically shit on your fans and just think that, like, everybody's bowing down to you. Like, nobody's bowing down to you, man. I mean, the ones that are, hey, sheep can go wherever they want, man. I'm not – that ain't me, bro. That stuff is a disgrace. You know, where he's at this point is a disgrace. You know, you sit there, with your leg broken in the octagon and, you know, talking about a man's wife, like, even though it's a freak accident, you just lost the fight, like, and he's won one fight since, he's won one fight in the past 5 years. Like, nobody wants to talk about that. Like, he's won a single fight since 2016. Since he won the second belt, he has won one fight. You know, I used to defend him and say, you know, well, he's fighting the best guys. And at that time, you know, when he was fighting Floyd Mayweather in boxing, which we don't really expect him to win that. And then he's fighting, you know, Khabib Nurmagomedov is, like, you know, one of the best MMA fighters ever. You know, probably the best grappler to ever in the UFC.
Do it, yeah.
You know, it's understandable, but then – I'm like, okay, he's fighting the best in the world. You need sport, fine. But then you go on, and then you lose to Poirier twice, and then you're just, like, out here talking like, you know, you're the man. And it's like, you're not. Like, you pretty much soaked up all the fame. It clearly has gotten to your head. And you just think that, you know, everybody worships you. And there are a group of people that do. And I feel sorry for them because they're being led astray by a guy who doesn't give a shit about them. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't care. Like, you've been sold a dream. Like, the story that you know McGregor by is not who he is anymore. You know what I'm saying? And that's the harsh realization that I have to come to myself. You know, I admire who he used to be. I don't admire who he is, you know? I don't look up to him for who he is now. I look up to who he used to be because that person is inspiring. Like, when I want to get motivation, I look back to his old clips and his old interviews. That's the inspiration. There's no inspiration by what he's doing now. The stuff he's doing now is disgraceful. You know what I'm saying? You're just embarrassing yourself. You're just slandering everybody, losing fights left and right. You know what I'm saying? Getting dominated pretty much. And then you're just coming out and just talking trash. And it's like, you have no ground to stand on. It's just sad, man. I don't even want to spend more time. It's just sad. That's it. But I just think that Tony, Conor should hope they don't make that fight. You know, that's not a good fight. You know, Tony will hurt him, man. Tony is a warrior in the cage, man. We know that. Tony is a warrior in the cage. Like, even though Tony's been on a losing streak too, what, he loses his last three fights? Tony has way more heart than McGregor. Way more. Way more. That is not even slightly up for debate. Not even a little bit. Don't even think of saying that that's up for debate. It is not. Tony Ferguson has way more heart than Conor McGregor. Way more. Way more. And we've seen that time and time again. Even Tony on a three-fight losing streak, I think he smashes McGregor in there. I think he really punishes McGregor in there. I don't think McGregor will be able to handle that kind of fight, you know? And there's always going to be the people that come out and say, oh, well, McGregor, you know, might knock him out. And it's like, man, come on. Like, you really going to keep saying that? Okay, he used to knock guys out. Okay, but he doesn't now. And what does Ferguson do? A little bit of everything. And what does Ferguson do? How does Ferguson react when someone in a submission attempt? Ferguson ain't going to tap in 2 seconds. McGregor taps almost before the choke is even locked in. Like, what are we talking about? What are we talking about? The second the choke sinks in, McGregor taps. He's barely in the choke for 3 seconds and he taps. Ferguson, we saw Ferguson in a choke versus Oliveira for probably 3 minutes. It was probably 3 minutes we saw him in that choke. How long was that? The longest choke ever where a guy doesn't tap?
He was fighting the whole time.
And he was fighting the whole time. And you could see him screaming. But I respect that. Like, I don't care if he keeps losing. You can see the heart. That's what I care about. You see McGregor losing, you don't see heart. You see him giving up over and over again. You know what I'm saying? And then having the audacity to sit there and talk trash, a defeated man. You don't sit there, a defeated man, and talk trash. Like, and then come back and then not come back better. Like, if you're going to do that, okay, you better come back better than if you're going to, you know, you got to back that up. But he doesn't come back better. He comes back more arrogant. And it's like, what ground do you have to stand on, like, conducting yourself that way? Ferguson, that's a scary fight, man. I don't know why McGregor would want that fight. That's a scary, scary fight. You think he's going to be able to, when he hits Ferguson with all those shots and Ferguson just doesn't go down and Ferguson's literally covered in blood and still coming forward like a zombie like he was doing versus Pettis, you think McGregor is going to be able to deal with that? He's not going to be able to lift his arms up. McGregor's going to be exhausted. Ferguson, man, that's just going to be another one of those pitches to add to the highlight reel of guys that fought Ferguson, and they came out looking all fucked up. Excuse my language.
Yeah, but I just think Conor is positioning himself for a big payday at his first fight back. I think this is a big fight. I mean, people want to see this fight because it's Conor McGregor. He's still a draw, and he's going to talk enough shit to drum up enough interest where people will want to see it. I know as far as, like, you being a fan and people that's in his fan club, they want to see him win, you know, to back up some of the shit he be talking. But my personal opinion is I think those days are far and in between. I think if he gets a win, good. I think if he don't win, good. Because he's still going to get paid a pretty penny. And to me, if you in it for the money, you in it for the wrong reason because you can get seriously hurt. So hopefully he's not in it for the money. He's still in it for the spirit of competition. But I'm kind of leaning towards your way. I just don't see him, you know, being in it to win. I think in his heart not in it no more. So, but, you know, we'll see how it goes when he finishes, when he come back and he do his rehab and stuff, see what he look like. But, like you say, and like I always say, until he become a well-rounded fighter, he can't succeed in the days of MMA. Because just being a stand-up guy, yeah, that'll work. I mean, anybody got a puncher's chance. But what happens when you don't have that? When you can't knock somebody out? What is your next thing? What is your plan B? What is your next tool? And he don't have that. So until he has that, I think he'll keep on losing, man. But look, man, we done jumped into this, so we're not gonna get to Kayla Harrison. We got about 30 minutes. Let me see how much time we got.
Yeah, we got 27 minutes.
Yeah. Let's just go ahead and jump into the card, man. We'll get to Kayla Harrison next weekend. How many fights on this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's 6 fights on the main card. So,
There's
15 fights on this card, dog.
15 fights on the card?
15 fights on the card. I want to say it got an early start time, too. I want to say it starts early. Yes. Oh, it's in Dubai, yeah. So, yeah, you have your whole night to go out and party, too, Keys.
You said I have all night to go and party?
Yeah, you'll still have your whole night to go party, because the main card starts at 2 Eastern.
Wait, which card is that?
The one that's Saturday.
The main card starts at 2 p.m.?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's in Abu Dhabi.
Damn. 2:67? 2 p.m.? Oh, man, that's okay. Anyways, that just burst my bubble right there. Anyways, we'll just continue on to the predictions. It'll be better to talk about Kayla Harrison next week, though, because she's fighting for the PFL championship tonight, I believe, and that's going on right now. So after we see the results of that, I feel like talking about her next week will be even more relevant. So we'll get to her then.
Yeah, I don't think if she loses, it might not be relevant. But if she wins, it'll definitely be relevant.
Yeah, we'll just have to let it play out then. I mean, it doesn't seem like she loses. Doesn't seem like she loses fights, so I'd be kind of shocked if she lost.
Yeah, cause I don't think she won the PFL last year. She was the number one seed coming in this year, and she really hasn't been challenged. So, yeah, man, we shall see.
Wow. So, Wow, this is crazy. I just want to brush over the prelims real quick. We're not going to do predictions, but I just want to just talk about a few things. This guy, Alessio Dos Santos, I thought this guy was going to be so much bigger at welterweight, man. I remember like 2 years ago, this Alessio Dos Santos, he's 22-7. I thought he was going to be like a top 15 guy at welterweight like a year ago, and he's like fighting some guy I've never heard of. I don't know how this came about because he looked really good at that time. That's crazy. Like, I'm literally looking at him on the prelims fighting, you know, a guy that doesn't even have a pitcher. And I'm just like, bro, yeah. How did this happen then? You're familiar with him. Are you familiar with him?
Yes.
Yeah, he looked good, man. I don't know how this played out. Like, I really thought, like, 2 years ago watching him fight, I was like, yo, this dude's going to be ranked soon. This guy's going to be a problem. I'm pretty sure that's the same guy that I'm – he was a welterweight, not the welterweight bot. I'm pretty sure that's the same guy. I don't know how – what happened on his – he was on that really just steered him off course. But either way, I mean, Amanda Ribas is on this card, too. She's the main event. It looks like she's the main event of the prelims. So shout out to that. Excuse me. Y'all know I'm a big fan of Amanda Ribas, so I'll be rooting for her in that one. Really looking forward to watching her fight. And
I kind of like the fight. The one before Dos Santos, because I like the Oleksiyczuk, I don't know how to say it, but the fight before the Dos Santos fight, I kind of like that guy. The guy that's 15-4, I kind of like the way he fight. I want to see what he can do against this guy, man, because this guy looks like he's probably from look like he can wrestle. So I want to see what he does, man, in this fight at light heavyweight. So I'm looking forward to seeing that fight.
Yeah, me too. It looks like Oleksiyczuk. I'm pronouncing that right. Oleksiyczuk, maybe. Yeah, he's 15-4. He's fighting a guy that's 1-0. So we'll see. And that's a light heavyweight bout too. Yeah, 15-4. He's from Poland versus a 1-0 Shamil Gamzatov. He's 1-0 from Russia. So we'll see how that one plays out. That one's a light heavyweight bout, so I'm happy about that. Light heavyweight needs some new names. Like, heavyweight's been dry for a long time, so definitely need some things to happen there. But, you know, also Zubara is fighting on this card. I don't think I've ever seen this guy fight. This is one of Habib's. This guy's in Habib's camp, I'm pretty sure. Zubara.
Oh.
I think he was, like, banned from the UFC for a while after that situation that happened, because I think he was part of the fight that broke out, the Zubara guy. And now he's fighting on this card versus Ricardo Ramos.
Oh, so okay. All right.
Yeah, I think he was part of that brawl that broke out at the event. So I'm pretty sure he was – I don't know if he was cut from the UFC or he was, like, suspended, but it was something like that. And maybe he – I don't know if he's fought since. I want to say I haven't seen him fight, but – who knows? I miss a lot of fights, so it's tough to really know. Oh, Amanda Ribas is fighting Bernard Jandaroba. That's a pretty solid fight. I want to say Jandaroba is the one that she's a ground fighter. She wants to, like, hold you. I'm pretty sure that's who I'm thinking of. She wants to hold you down and kind of went on a lot of control time. That's kind of what I saw in her last fight. That's an interesting fight. Definitely have
to see. Yeah, the one guy you were talking to. The one guy you was talking about, he's the one that's fighting Ramos. Yeah, the last time he fought was September 26, 2020. So it's been a year since he fought. So, because before that, he was off from May 13, 2016 to September 7, 2019. Wow. He was off 3 years, bro.
Oh, so I was right on that? He hasn't fought since?
No. Nah, he fought He last fought September 26, 2020. But he was off. He had a three-year spot where he didn't fight. From 2016 to 2019. That's crazy.
Yeah, I think he got suspended, man. But, yeah, let's jump into the main card. I think we got, 2019. Okay, we got like 20 minutes. Cool. Let's jump into the main card. We'll start off with Magomed Ankalaev. This is the guy who fought that Wolverine-looking dude. Kind of looks like Sabretooth. Kind of looks like Sabretooth from the Wolverine movies.
Yeah, you talking about my man. You talk about Catalaba.
How'd you know who I was talking about when I said he looks like he's from Wolverine or something?
Yeah, because they fought like two times. And Catalaba was like, he was mad about the first outcome. And so Dana White booked it again, and he lost again. He beat him in the first fight, Catalaba. He beat Ankalaev, beat him in the first fight, round one, 38 seconds. Then he beat him in the second fight, round one, 4 minutes and 19 seconds. So, yeah, I know who you're talking about, because they was talking trash.
Yeah, that was a heated fight.
Yeah.
That rivalry was. I'm going to just come right out the gate. This one ain't going to take. What happened?
Yeah, he fighting Uzdemir.
Yeah, so I'm going to just come right out the gate. When you look at the stats, I mean, Uzdemir does have him beat in the, strikes landed per minute. And, he's a 71% to win by KO. But that really doesn't change too much for me. I think Ankalaev is going to dominate this fight. I think Ankalaev stops him. I want to say Ankalaev by second round KO.
Yeah, man. Uzdemir has definitely fell off. He showed a lot of promise, but, as soon as you count him out, he beats Latifi by a second round KO. Then he won the split decision against Rockets. And then he loses to Prochaska. He lost to Dominique Reyes, and he lost to Anthony Smith. I'm going to tell Ankalaev, too, man. I think Ankalaev wins this fight. I think Uzdemir puts up a good fight. I think he loses probably early third round, probably TKO or submission. So, yeah, I like Ankalaev in this fight.
All right, both of us have Ankalaev. It's not a common thing that happens where we pick the same guy. But
I think we got the same guy in this next fight.
Yeah, we might have the same guy in this next fight as well. So I don't know if it's Lee or Yi. It might be Yi.
Yi Yingling.
I want to say Yi Yingling.
Yep.
Versus Khamzat Chimaev. Yi Yingling is a warrior, man. This is a guy that I feel like I would pick Chimaev, and I would be wrong. So I'm going to go with Chimaev, even though he just had COVID. And people are saying that, he might still have complications due to COVID and all this, but I don't really think that's going to be the case. My gut is saying that if I really believe that, I would be sadly mistaken, and Chimaev would have another impressive victory here, which is what I think happens. I think Chimaev will win this fight. I think Yi Yingling will win. No, not win. Will do well in this fight, but I think Chimaev will have another impressive victory. I'm going to go with a late first round stoppage for Chimaev. That's TKO.
Yeah, I think Chimaev wins this fight. He has the reach advantage. He has the height advantage. And I think his style will definitely frustrate Yingling. I think Yingling is want to mix it up as far as like making it a striking battle. Whereas Chimaev, we already know he wants to get the fight to the ground. although he does have like an 80% significant strike accuracy. That's probably due to his reach advantage. But I'm going to say he wins this fight second round submission.
Moving on to – so we pretty much picked the same fighter the first two fights. Let's see how we go into – well, this is actually a six-fight main card, what I'm realizing now. So we're not going into the top three. We're going into the top four. So it's good that we're on this pace. The next one is we have a heavyweight fight. I'm glad to see the heavyweights. Number five heavyweight in the world, Alexander Volkov versus number eight, Marcin Tybura. Volkov is a minus 290 favorite. Tybura is a plus 230 underdog. I'm going to let you go first on this one.
Man, I really, really want to pick Tybura in this fight. But I'm going to go with Volkov in this fight. I think Volkov is probably the better all-around fighter. Plus, his wrestling game is top-notch. I'm going to go Volkov wins this fight. He puts a lot of pressure on Tybura on the ground. He makes Tybura carry his weight. I'm going to say Volkov wins this fight by unanimous decision.
Yeah, I'm going to go in and say I think Volkov, being the taller fighter, I think his reach and height is going to be, you know, it's going to be a big factor in this fight. Tybura is, you know, is a really game heavyweight, but at the same time, I think Volkov's probably fought, you know, the higher level competition overall. And I just think, you know, we'll see that in this fight. And I'm going with the same pick as you. I think Volkov will win a pretty clear unanimous decision.
All right.
And all, that brings us into our next one. We have – this is a fight that I am pretty excited for. I can't lie. I'm pretty damn excited for this fight. Islam Makhachev versus Dan Hooker, a fight that wasn't supposed to happen. We were supposed to get Makhachev versus RDA, but RDA fell out and Dan Hooker fell in. So here we are with the fight. Would you like to go first on this one, or you want me to get it?
I'll go first.
Right.
I keep it real short and simple. I'm not a fan of Dan Hooker. I think he talks his way into good fights, but he never fights his way into good fights. I think he done bit off more than he could chew in this fight. His biggest chance of probably winning this fight is probably with his activity, and his takedown defense has to be on point. I like Islam in this fight. Although Dan Hooker does have a five inch reach advantage, that is major. But I'm going to take Islam in this fight. I think Dan Hooker puts up a good fight, but I think he gets submitted in the third round.
Man, this is kind of a tough one for me because I really, even though Makhachev has one loss, Dan Hooker has 10, I just really haven't seen Makhachev fight anybody who's anybody. That's the problem that really kills me here. Makhachev.
Oh, this is his first fight at top notch competition.
I mean, this is his first fight in the top 10. Like, he really hasn't fought. Never mind the, like, championship level. He hasn't even fought a guy in the top 10. So I'm just like, I mean, your biggest fight is Thiago Moises. Like, come on, bro. Like, Thiago Moises is solid, but, like, really? Yeah, I don't know. He really needs this win for me to – I believe in his skills, but I just don't believe – I'm not yet told that he can fight with the best guys yet. I believe he has skills, but he hasn't shown me them, and I believe he has potential, but I've just yet to see that potential versus top guys, and that's what kind of holds me back with Makhachev. You know, I do believe he's skillful. I thought he looked good in, you know, his earlier fights. I've been watching him. I know what he brings to the table, so I understand. I've seen Dan Hooker, you know, on the ground too, but I have not seen – Dan Hooker does not bring to the table that constant – cardio that Makhachev brings to it, where it's like Machado is going to take you down. If you do get back up, he's right back up with you, striking with you right away. And then he'll look for the next takedown. You know, Machado looks like he's hunting guys down in there when he fights. Like, he looks like he's preying on guys, and he knows that he has, you know, multiple different ways to win the fight. He knows he has weapons available, and he's athletic. He has a great build, great, you know, very good cardio from what I've seen. I haven't seen him in a five-rounder, but because I didn't see his Thiago fight, but, you know, from what I've seen of him in his three-round fights, his cardio has looked really good to me. Dan Hooker has looked better in fights where he, you know, got guys out of there early. You know, he does have cardio. I saw him five rounds versus Poirier, but, you know, we know he came up short in that fight. All right. I'm going to go with Machaev for this one here. I think Machaev is going to win in a good fight. I think Dan Hooker will look good in there, and I think Machaev will win a unanimous decision in a good back and forth fight.
I like it.
And that leads us into our co-main event. What we got?
Uh-oh.
8 minutes left? All right, perfect. Okay, so we got the co-main event is an interim 135 title, bantamweight interim title, Peter Yan versus Corey Sandhagen. Peter Yan minus 235 versus Corey Sandhagen plus 190. I'll go first on this one. Okay, so Peter Yan's the number one contender still. He was the champion. He lost the belt due to a disqualification, which in both of our opinion, I believe we both said it was kind of bogus. I think a lot of people felt that way. Some people still think Peter Yan's the true champion. A lot of people have also said that if Corey Sandhagen wins this fight, you know, he's, even though he'd be the interim title holder, he, you know, a lot of people would look at him as the true champion. And Corey Sandhagen said that himself, that he would feel like he's the real champion if he beats Peter Yan, which to me is completely understandable. You know, I think Corey Sandhagen is the best fighter in the 135 division. You know, TJ Dillashaw did beat him. I haven't seen enough of TJ Dillashaw yet to really say whether I think he's the overall best fighter. I did pick him to beat Corey Sandhagen. I think he may very well be better than Corey Sandhagen, but I've only seen one fight of Dillashaw since he's been back. But I think his next fight will be the tell-all. I do think it's between those two guys, though. I think TJ Dillashaw and Sandhagen are the two best guys at 135. I think both those guys would beat Aljamain Sterling at this stage. Obviously, Sterling's beat Sandhagen by submission before, but I think, you know, that wouldn't happen every single time. I think Sandhagen can beat him. I think Dillashaw definitely beats him. Peter Yan, I just haven't really seen – I don't know. I'm just not – I've never really been as sold on him as other people are. I feel like I haven't really seen spectacular things from him, honestly. You know, he beat some guys, but there hasn't been, like, moments where I was like, wow, this dude's great. You know, I just really haven't seen that. And then, you know, what he showed in the last fight and then, you know, the attitude he's had since then, especially that he posted a video with, you know, him hitting some guy with a knee, like he was in training or something. And did you see that video? Man, yeah. What the hell was that? He really posted that. I was like, man, this dude's crazy. I don't know why his trainer would even agree to do a video like that either. That's kind of weird. But, yeah, they basically reenacted that knee. So, I don't know. Peter Yan, I'm not sold on him being the best in the division. I think it's Corey and TJ are the best two guys. And I think Sandhagen beats Peter Yan in this fight. I think he has all the weapons to beat him. He definitely has the cardio to beat him. He definitely has the striking to beat him, the ground game to beat him. He definitely has the height advantage. He's 4 inches taller. Definitely has the reach advantage. He'll have 3-inch reach advantage, leg reach. You know, he's a lot longer than Peter Yan. And, you know, you could say the same about Dillashaw, but that was a very close fight. I mean, I'm not saying Yan's going to get dominated, but I definitely think Sandhagen can't beat him, and I do pick him to beat Peter Yan. I think he has everything it takes, and I think that last loss, you know, didn't really sit well with him. Not in an emotional way, but in a this just motivated me even more way. You know, that fight made me a fan of his. You know, I feel like he showed a lot of heart in that fight, even though I thought you know, his the later rounds, he was kind of fading, and he was kind of trying to, you know, but it is what it is. It don't matter. I think Sanhagen gets him. I'm going to say, damn, I don't know how. I'm not really sure, man. I'm going to say this is a five-round fight. I'm going to say Corey Sanhagen finishes Peter Yan in the championship round. I'm going to say Corey Sanhagen finishes Yan in the fifth round. I'm going to say he finishes him by TKO in the fifth round after a pretty good fight.
Man, this is a tough one, bro. But I'm falling back on something you said. I'm really not a believer in Petr Yan, man. I know that, you know, he on a little winning streak. He don't won, I want to say, let me go back. I want to say he don't won. He on like a nice little winning streak. But when you look at who he's fought, the names don't really scream anything. He beat Dotson, Rivera, Uriah Faber, Jose Aldo, and then he lost to Aljamain Sterling. I've been driving the Corey Sanhagen bandwagon for almost 2 years now, and I'm not giving up my driver's seat as of yet. I think I'm actually hitting the gas pedal on the bandwagon right now. I like Sanhagen to win this fight. I think his length is going to be a problem for Petr Yan. The only thing I worry about with Corey Sanhagen is don't do the bullshit you did in the Dillashaw fight. Let's not do anything spinning. Let's not do anything backhanded. Let's keep it simple, and you should win the fight. I got Sanhagen winning by split decision in an entertaining fight.
Okay. And that pretty much so far, we have had all the same picks for this whole card. Yeah, we both had.
And it's Akhla, probably about to happen again.
Chimaev, Volkov, Islam, Sanhagen. So, yeah, we have 5-0. We have had all the same picks. And it likely may go 6-0. I'm not trying to say this show is rigged, but we just – I feel like as the years have gone on, me and Lee have talked probably the most hours about the true fight game
yep.
in UFC and MMA overall, the true fight game, a full fight. You know, that's the one thing McGregor does say that I will still bring up that is true. The true fight game is MMA, and we have talked the most hours. I've talked the most hours more than with anybody else about the fight game with Lee. So I feel like in these 4 years that we've been doing that, we have, you know, a lot of our mentality is kind of, we've kind of, you know, absorbed a lot of each other's thoughts on fights. You know, we've kind of become more similar, you know, through talking. We kind of gained a lot of you. Man, this robot's killing me, bro. I can't take it. Blog Talk Radio, y'all gotta chill. But don't get me started, bro. You know what I'm talking about. But
yes,
we've become more similar through talking so many hours about fights, and you know, we've gained a lot of perspective from each other. So I think years ago we used to have a lot of different picks, but as years have gone on, and especially this year, we've become, you know, a lot more close in our picks. You know, so anyways, we're in the main event. I'll let you go first since I got the first title fight.
This is easy for me. I'm never picking against Blachowicz again. until I see something in his game that I don't like, then I might pick against him. But this is one guy that sticks to his game plan through and through and through the fight. He doesn't change what his game plan is going into the fight. And when he did change his game plan, he ended up losing to Santos. So I like Blachowicz to win this fight. I'm definitely proud of what Glover Teixeira has done at this advanced part of his career. you know, to go from fighting John Jones for the title to building himself back up and now fighting Jan for the title. That has to be respected. But I like Blachowicz to win this fight. I want to say Teixeira might take it the distance, but I just don't see it happening. I'm going to go with Blachowicz by fourth round KO.
Yeah, I just had to quote that on our Twitter. That was hilarious. Yeah, I'm never picking against Blachowicz again until he really starts to do something that would, like you said, that would make me seriously doubt him. If he starts, you know, switching up his game plan halfway through the fight and, you know, changing his entire, you know, boxing strategy like he did versus Thiago Santos a couple of years back. So he starts, like, so you start seeing weird things happening, you know, from his corner out to the cage, you know, halfway through the fight. I'm not going to be picking against him. And even then, it might even still be kind of risky to pick against him because, you know, he's just – this dude is the truth, man. He, even before he was the champion, he was the truth, but we doubted him. So that, but that time is over. I got Jan Blachowicz winning this fight. As much as a lot of people would love to see Glover Teixeira win, I think Jan Blachowicz is his time right now. He's locked in. I haven't seen his picture with that rope yet, but I'm sure we will see his picture with that rope pretty soon. He always goes and touches that rope before every fight. I think the last fight he even brought it out as like a wristband. I think he had to make that rope into a wristband. He wore it out like during the fight, which was some just next level savage shit. But yeah, Blachowicz is a beast. I got him winning by, I don't think the fight goes that long, bro. I think I'm going with early. We ain't even going to say that. We're going to say late third round TKO. That's the classic. We're going with it. Late third round TKO. I wanted to say early fourth, but I really don't think so, man. I think unless Glover can hold him down, which I don't know if he can hold him down, because Glover's great, you know, on the ground. He's a good wrestler, but I feel like Blachowicz he's got the size to be able to deal with that, and he's got the wrestling background too to be able to deal with that. I think Blachowicz will get up when he wants. You know, these guys both have boxing, they both have wrestling. These are two guys that are kind of similar in style, if you ask me. And I think Blachowicz will be able to deal with the takedowns, and I think he'll get back to his feet, and I think he'll be landing a lot of big shots early in those first two rounds. I think late third he gets him out of there.
Yeah, I think Glover's gonna put up a good fight early. But I just think he gets frustrated. I think he's going to get frustrated when he sees that nothing that he does is going to affect Blachowicz. So, hey, but once again, hats off to Glover, man, for being able to, you know, go from losing the title shot against John Jones to climbing all the way back up the ladder, man. So, you know, hats off. But I just don't see him winning Saturday.
Yeah, so that's 6-0 for the card. Me and Lee are pretty much like combined into one analyst at this point. It is what it was, a wise man once said. And yeah, that's pretty much it for our show. We got through a lot of things. My bad for going on the rant about McGregor, but I'm just so utterly disappointed with who he's become at this stage that I really can't contain myself, and I had to get that off. So, you know, three espresso martinis will, you know, that'll get you talking, and that's what it was. So, hope everybody enjoyed the show. If you're gonna do the espresso martini, you want to go Frangelico, Bailey's, Kahlua, and real espresso. That's the way to rock with it. You want it to look foamy on the top. You don't want it to be, you know, just looking like a liquid drink. You want to have nice foam on the top. That's how you know it's a real one. And yeah, that's all I got. Hope you all enjoyed the show. Thank you to whoever listened. Thank you to the caller that was in the queue earlier. Appreciate that. And yeah, the floor is yours, Lee.
Yo, damn, I didn't see a call in the queue. It was a call in the queue and you ain't jumping in?
Yeah, yeah, there was a caller in the queue earlier.
I didn't see it.
Yeah,
man,
we were locked in. we were locked in. I didn't really want to, you know, go off course with that. You know, I kind of want to just rock with our preview show tonight for the big event.
Yeah. So, you know, everybody, enjoy the free pay-per-view this weekend. I think it's, what, 15 fights on this card? Look at the start times once again. The prelims, I want to say, start at 8:30, 10:30 Eastern, 8:30 Mountain Time. So, yeah, man, everything is going to be all early. So you get your whole, you get to watch the UFC during the day, and you still get to go out at night and party. So everybody be safe, protect yourself, still practice social distancing. You know, the vaccine, if you want to get it as a personal choice. Positive people, positive energy, yield positive results. And as always, Lee and Keys logging off with a peace.